Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
It's always great to look back at the historic past, and in this episode of Football's Early Professional Teams, we're going to take a gander at the short history of the Brooklyn Lions franchise in the NFL. Their story and more is coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we're going to look back in that portal today and go back to another professional early team of the NFL. Played in the early NFL one of the first six years, the Brooklyn Lions. The Brooklyn Lions franchise was officially announced to join the NFL on July 10th, 1926. So we have a little bit of an anniversary date, the date of the release of this podcast. Newspapers.com headline that was posted on September 14th, 1926, and the New York Daily Times News read, "Pro Grid Star Signed by Butler." While the article talks of the Brooklyn Lions president and manager, Eddie Butler, signing up players to his recently founded Lions team. The team was put together there with the support from the league offices so as to counter the first American Football League's deployment, the Red Grange League, of their team called the Brooklyn Horsemen. According to Wikipedia, in the months before the regular season began, both leagues battled with each other for fan support and the right to play at Ebbets Field. You know, this was sort of a shot across the bow by C.C. Pyle, who's the manager of one of the managers of Red Grange. I remember we've had some great conversations with Chris Willis and some other podcasts on this whole situation of the original American Football League, AFL, back in the mid-20s. But Red Grange had such a success as in his first year with the Chicago Bears in the NFL, really did that barnstorming tour, saved a lot of teams, you know, the Bears, the Giants, put the NFL as a whole on the map. And C.C. Pyle didn't think Grange was getting enough money, so he started his own football league when they would not let them go to Yankee Stadium and compete with the Giants. So he competed with an alternate football league, the AFL, and the Brooklyn Horsemen were one of those teams. So the NFL countered by coming up with this Brooklyn Lions team with Eddie Butler. So the NFL emerged as a winner in this little battle for Ebbets Field as the Lions signed a lease to use the stadium on July 20th. It was one of the few victories for the Lions in their franchise history. The inaugural 1926 season was brutal for the club. They hired Robert Norman Punk Berryman as the team's head coach. And Punk Berryman was a former player at Penn State and was selected as an All-American halfback in 1915. Coach Berryman's resume of leading football team starts when he served as the head football coach at Gettysburg College in 1916 and then went to Lafayette College in 1917. He subsequently was an assistant football coach at the University of Iowa and Dickinson Colleges. And in 1922-23 seasons, Punk followed fellow Penn alumnus Dick Harlow's staff to Colgate as an assistant. Now, according to the American Football Database, Berryman then coached the 1924 Frankfurt Yellow Jackets, who were a new franchise in the National Football League that year. The Jackets under Punk had a respectable third-place finish with a record of 11-2-1, but his services were not retained the following season, and Berryman coached the Millville Football and Athletic Club the following year, 1925, before he was hired as this Brooklyn Lions coach. Now, this led Coach Berryman to Eddie Butler, who hired this well-traveled and experienced coach to lead the Lions sideline. After all, he had some decent success in college, took a first-year NFL team in the Frankfurt Yellow Jackets to an 11-2-1 record. That's pretty good, too. So they probably couldn't have got a better coach than what they did experience-wise at the time. Looked great on paper. But the schedule was brutal, to say the least, as the Lions, for the most part, were in most of their ball games competitively in that first year. Their first game played was against a strong Providence Steamroller team, where Brooklyn suffered a 0-13 loss on the road. Butler, though, was working the public relations of his squad for the home opener of the club in the NFL's week number 4 game, as he announced in the October 2nd, 1926 edition of the Brooklyn Times Union newspaper that a portion of the game's proceeds would be donated to the local Red Cross affiliate. Now, on October 5th, according to the reports, the Lions signed veteran guard Swede Nordstrom to help bolster their line. And with much fanfare at Ebbets Field, they found a 6-0 victory over the Hartford Blues. The Boston Globe on October 11th account of the game says that 500 fans fought through the bitter cold air to witness the event. The article said it was a dull and monotonous game, end quote, and poor press coverage and the attendance were not good signs for the club, even though they had won that game. Now, a few games later, they were not positive at all for the Lions as they fell to the Pottsville Maroons by the score of 21-0, and then lost again in a rematch with Hartford in the Connecticut Stadium, 6-16. The next two games were victories for the Lions as they defeated the Columbus Tigers 20-12 and then hosted the well-traveled Kansas City Cowboys. Butler again announced the gate proceeds of the Kansas City game would go to a local group of Camp Sussex, New Jersey. And the Brooklyn owner also hosted a 30-minute indoor game where he coached one squad comprised of Lions players, and Punk Berryman, the regular coach, coached the opposing team of mixed Brooklyn players. Radio station WRNY covered a game, and it was claimed that this was the first broadcasted coverage of an indoor football game. The Cowboys defeated the Brooklyn Lions, though, in a hard-fought game 10-9 the following Sunday. On November 12, 1926, the Horsemen withdrew from the AFL of C.C. Pyle and soon after there merged with the NFL's Lions. The new team created by the merger was initially called the Brooklyn Lions and competed in the NFL from November 22, 1926. Newspaper reports had it that the Horsemen's promoter, Hubert J. Fugazi, got together with Butler at his office in the Woolworth Building in Brooklyn to negotiate the merger of the Horsemen and the Lions, as the New York borough was not big enough to support both of these clubs, as proven by the gate receipts of each franchise. So for at least the last three games of 1926, the teams used the Brook Lion Horseman name to finish the season. And after three consecutive losses, the Lions Horsemen disbanded their franchise. And part of the reason is that Red Grange's New York Yankees stole some of the AFL thunder from Brooklyn, well, because he had the big name there, while others pointed to growing up the popularity of the New York Giants, who were starting to come into their own as a great product to watch on the gridiron. Now, that merger that took place between the two Brooklyn teams, the Brooklyn Horsemen ended up having 8 players that played with the Brooklyn Lions to make the combined squad. And those players that came over were tailback Harry Stuhldreher, you know, Notre Dame fame, one of the 4 Horsemen, fullback Earl Britton, guard Tarzan Taylor, guard Red Howard, center Ted Plumridge, end Ted Drews, and end Ed Harrison. The new team, also referred to as the Horse-Lions, had those 8 members and now defunct AFL team trounce the Canton Bulldogs 19-0 in front of a small crowd in Ebbets Field. It was sort of a last-ditch effort to attract paying fans. And the Lions then adopted the Horseman nickname of the old AFL team. And they, like we said, they lost those last 3 games in their existence by shutout. They couldn't even score a point in those last 3 games. And that was so the demise of the Brooklyn Lions team. Great bit of history. Only lasted part of a year and then combined with the AFL team for the rest of that. But not a great success, but still a great part of history. Some good players, some very well-known players played on that team in 1926. And, you know, too bad they couldn't survive, but they didn't, and it's all part of history. And we enjoy football history here each and every day. We hope you enjoy it. And come back tomorrow and enjoy some more great football history as we will be spanning the globe to find that great historic events that happen in football. Till tomorrow, everybody, have a great Gridiron Day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.